So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, Chapter Number 5, entitled Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, Text Number 31. Tejasanindriyanyeva Jnanakarmamayani cha. Word for word meanings. Tejasani,
Tejasani,
the mode of passion.
The mode of passion.
Indriyani,
Indriyani,
the senses.
The senses.
Eva,
Eva,
certainly.
Certainly.
Jnana,
Jnana,
knowledge.
Knowledge.
Philosophical speculations.
Philosophical.
Karma,
karma,
fruitive activities.
Fruitive activities.
Mayani,
mayani,
predominating.
Predominating.
Cha,
cha,
also.
Also.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Translation. The senses are certainly products of the mode of passion in false ego. And therefore, philosophical speculative knowledge and fruitive activities are predominantly products of the mode of passion. Translation, please repeat. The senses are certainly, products of the mode of passion,
in false ego.
And therefore,
philosophical speculative knowledge
and fruitive activities
are predominantly
products of the mode of passion. Purport. The chief function of the false ego is godlessness. When a person forgets his constitutional position as an eternally subordinate part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wants to be happy independently. He functions mainly in two ways. He first attempts to act fruitively for personal gain or sense gratification, and after attempting such fruitive activities for a considerable time, when he is frustrated, he becomes a philosophical speculator and thinks himself to be on the same level as God. This false idea of becoming one with the Lord is the last snare of the illusory energy, which traps a living entity into the bondage of forgetfulness under the spell of false ego. The best means of liberation from the clutches of false ego is to give up the habit of philosophical speculation regarding the Absolute Truth. One should know definitely that the Absolute Truth is never realized by the philosophical speculations of the imperfect egoistic person. The Absolute Truth, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is realized by hearing about Him in all submission and love from a bona fide authority who is a representative of the 12 great authorities mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. By such an attempt only can one conquer the illusory energy of the Lord, although for others she is unsurpassable, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.14. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Asmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapad Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajidam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamshya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So here in Bhagavatam we are discussing about creation of this material world. So in Bhagavatam there are so many things discussed. And there is a variety. There is a variety in spiritual world and there is a variety in material world. The difference is variety in material world brings clash and all the negative qualities like anger, frustration, depression. And varieties in the spiritual world bring more and more ecstasy. So in spiritual world also there is difference of opinion. But devotees there, they don't fight and they fight, but that's very sweet. Because the center is one and the center is pleasing Krishna. But in material world there's so many centers. As many people, as many centers. So many centers. Because everyone wants to gratify their own senses. So Bhagavatam presents all these various topics. And devotees read Bhagavatam. Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Bhagavatam is very dear to all the devotees. And different devotees have liking for different topics. They like whole Bhagavatam, but then because of variety, because of different nature of a devotee, they may like a particular section more than other. That doesn't mean that one section is higher or lower than others. All syllables of Srimad Bhagavatam are enriched with Krishna Prem. That is told by Sanatana Goswami. So there is nothing higher or lower in Bhagavatam. 10th canto, 1st canto, 12th canto, all are in one sense on the equal absolute platform. Then there are degrees of sweetness and particular devotees have liking for some particular pastime. So here we are discussing Srishti Leela, the pastime of creation. And there are pastimes of maintenance, pastimes of destruction. There was one devotee whose description is in 12th canto, Markandeya Rishi. He wanted to see destruction. So Lord granted him his wish and he saw how destruction took place. He was in that ocean of devastation for many, many years and he saw big creatures were coming to catch him. So it was frightening. Devastation is a frightening thing. But he wanted to see that. He had that taste. So Lord fulfilled it. But ultimately he saw Krishna. So mainly these topics in Srimad Bhagavatam are categorized into 10 topics. 10 subject matters. Atra sargo visargasya sthanam poshnam utaya Manvantare Shanukata Nirodho Muktir Ashraya. So these are the 10 subject matters. Sarga, Visarga and so on. Creation, then secondary creation, maintenance, description of the incarnations, liberation, and finally we have ashraya or the sammam bonum. And all these 10 subject matters are discussed in each of the 12 cantos, but to various degrees. In second and third canto, we would see that creation is discussed more. So creation has two categories, sarga and visarga. Sarga is the initial creation, which is done by Vishnu or Lord himself. And then when Lord Brahma appears, he further creates, that is sub-creation or visarga. So now what we are reading here in these verses, that this is sarga, this is initial creation. So the whole material realm, initially it's not activated, it's called pradhan. And then Lord glances over it and then it's activated. So now after this activation, we are reading what happens. So the false ego reacts with mode of goodness, and it produces, as we read yesterday, it produces mind and the demigods. And today's verse we are seeing that the false ego has reacted with mode of passion, and senses are produced. So we have body means senses. So these senses are produced by the interaction of false ego with mode of passion. So all these things are mentioned in Bhagavatam, and it's very logical to accept it. Because what are the other theories present about creation? One is Big Bang theory. There's not much logic in it. You know, that there was a bang and then creation happened. So usually when we see, science means you observe something, then you have some hypothesis, and then you can exhibit it. That is science. But there, okay, we observe that there is creation, but how can you prove it again? Now we see whatever bangs happen, things are destroyed, right? There are bomb blasts and so many bangs and blasts. Things are not created by blasts. So it cannot be proven properly, logically. So this theory presented in Srimad Bhagavatam is very amazing. It may not sound very logical in the beginning, but if we practice devotional service, then we can realize how this is true, how there is this creation, how this creation takes place. So in the beginning, we have the aggregate of 24 elements. So what are the 24 elements? How this material world is made up of? It's very important. The Sankhya philosophers, they analyze these 24 elements. But the Bhakti yogis, they perform devotional service. They don't go too much into the study and interaction of these 24 elements. Because ultimately, we have to understand that we are bound by these 24 elements, and we have to come out of this bondage by performing Bhakti Yoga. So, we also discuss about these 24 elements, but we don't stop there. Our goal is to get out of these 24 elements, and that is only possible by practicing Bhakti Yoga. So, 24 elements, we have 10 senses, 5 working senses, 5 knowledge acquiring senses. Then we have 5 sense objects. Then we have Mahabhuta, Pancha Mahabhuta, the 5 gross elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether. And then we have 3 subtle elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. And so these are 23, and 24th element is the aggregate of all these. That's considered a separate element in itself. So these are the 24 elements, and they have various interactions, and then things are produced. So it's so scientific, and Lord does it effortlessly. Lord Mahavishnu is lying in the Karan Jal or causal ocean, and he's in his yoga nidra, he's sleeping actually, and in his dream This whole creation happens very effortlessly. And then we see how it is maintained and then it is destroyed. So because we are part of the Supreme, we have similar tendencies. So that's very easy to see. So Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha. Ishvara Parma Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karan Karanam. So he is Satchidananda Vigraha. He is eternal, he is full of knowledge and he is full of bliss. He has a form which is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. So because we are parts of Krishna, that's why we can see we have a tendency to we want to stay immortal. We don't want to die. That's within us. Devotee, non-devotee, doesn't matter. We want to live eternally because that's our original position. And then Satchit, because Lord has full knowledge, we also want knowledge. So everyone, there's information age, right? That's why there's so many things. First television came, now internet is there. Now mobile phones have got everything. Because everyone wants knowledge about something. It may not be spiritual knowledge, but we want knowledge. That tendency, that proclivity to have knowledge. So that comes from Lord. Because he is full of knowledge. And then Ananda. Lord is blissful. And that's why everyone wants to be happy. That's a different thing. They may not know how to be happy. Only devotees know how to be happy. But they are searching. They are looking for happiness. And most people are looking for happiness in a wrong place. Like the fish out of water. The fish out of water cannot find happiness anywhere. So these tendencies are within us because we are part of Krishna. So Lord creates, we also have this tendency. We want to create also. So Lord creates whole material realm, spiritual realm. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. All material and spiritual worlds come from me. So we try to imitate Lord. Now we have our own small world, small universe, right? Our home, small home, we have our expansions there, and our vahan, the vehicle, to travel to other planets and universes. So like that, we are imitating Lord Krishna. And for materialists, this imitation leads to repeated birth and death. But devotees, they follow Krishna's system, Varnashram system. So for devotees, there is no loss. So externally it may look we are imitating Krishna, but for devotees there is no loss. They go back to Godhead and participate in Krishna's pastimes. So here Prabhupada writes very nicely that this illusory energy is very hard to overcome. It's unsurpassable. And Prabhupada mentions about the verse 7.14. This very important verse. So we'll discuss both the 7.14 and 7.13 as well. One before that. Because it talks about how we are trapped by material energy. So this famous verse. Devi esha gunmai mam maya duratya mame vye prapadyante maya mektam tarantite. So this Devi or external energy of Lord is made up of three modes of nature. And the verse which comes before that is Tribir Gunai Mayer Bhave Ebi Sarvam Idam Jagat Mohitam Nabi Janati Mamevya Paramavyam. So there Krishna says, deluded by these three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, the whole world does not know me. So whole world is covered just by these three modes. And we see how the interactions of these modes happen. So the whole world doesn't know me. And this external energy is made up of three modes. Guna Mayi, so means made up of. Mayi means which is made up of these three modes. So yesterday Vraja Krishna Prabhu very nicely explained that. I like that point. He said We wanted to embrace the internal energy, but as soon as we did that, that internal energy changed into external energy. So actually we embraced external energy, because we cannot embrace internal energy with selfish motive. So what we embraced were these three modes, and then we are getting more and more entangled in these three modes. And then we become forgetful of wonderful aspects of Krishna. Because we are covered, we cannot see who Krishna is, how amazing he is, how beautiful he is, what are his amazing qualities. So we have heard about Krishna's six opulences. He's all famous, he's all powerful, he's wealthy, he's most beautiful, and he's most renounced. So these are the six opulences of Krishna. Then further, we see in Krishna book, there are other eight transcendental qualities described of Krishna. So I'll quickly read these. By hearing about these opulences, qualities and aspects of Krishna, we develop attraction for Krishna. So if you want to get attraction for someone, this is the process. You hear about them. You hear about their qualities, their activities, their various aspects, likes and dislikes, and then we start liking that person. So same way for Krishna. We have forgotten Krishna because we are covered by these gunas, gunamayi maya. So when we hear these qualities of Krishna, then we revive our dormant love for Krishna. So the eight transcendental qualities of Krishna are as follows. He's always untouched by contamination of material existence. As in that verse 7.13 we just heard, param avyayam, he's para, he's beyond the three modes. All his activities are pastimes, whether in spiritual world or material world. The word pastime means what you do, what you would like to do in your free time, in your leisurely time. So for Krishna, all his activities are pastimes. Like for example, for us, we have to go to work 5 days at least for so many hours, and then we have our leisure time probably in the evenings or on the weekend. So we don't like to do work, but we have to so that we can have leisure time. But for Krishna, it's not like that. He doesn't have to work to get his leisure or his enjoyment. He's always enjoying. So that's Krishna, because he's not touched by three modes. He's above these three modes. So all his activities are pastimes. When he comes to material world, that's also his pastime. Pastime means there is no force. So we know the famous or infamous Monday morning. We are forced to go to work. There is a force. Oh, I have to go because I have to maintain the body. So for maintaining the body, you have to work, you need to get money. So it's a force. We are forced to do that. And we are forced to come into this material world because we became contaminated by this desire of trying to enjoy separately for Krishna. So we are forced to come into this world. But Krishna, he comes by his will, by his sweet will, and he does activities that he likes. So because he's not controlled by three modes, rather three modes are being controlled by him. So that's first quality. Second is he never dies, and therefore he's never forgetful. So we also never die because soul never dies, but we do accept these material bodies which die, and that's why we forget. In fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks, that you are saying you gave this knowledge to Vivashvan, who is senior to you by birth. So how can I understand this, that you gave knowledge to him? He is senior to you. So then Krishna says, because we have both have taken many births, but you have forgotten. but I haven't, because you have changed the bodies and I haven't. So Krishna never changes a body, he never accepts material body. So that's his second quality, transcendental quality. Then third, he never becomes old, he's never subject to lamentation, he's never hungry, he's never thirsty. Whatever he desires is perfectly lawful. So this is one thing. Whatever he desires, externally it may seem to be unlawful, but it's all lawful. He marries so many wives, he has affairs with others' wives. It's all lawful for Krishna. He kills demons, sometimes in seemingly unlawful ways. But it's all lawful, because dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. He's the law maker. So there is nothing unlawful for him. And then last transcendental quality, eighth transcendental quality, is whatever he decides cannot be changed by anyone. So he has the last say always. So we may try to do this and that, but ultimately Krishna has the last say. We can never know. Even as devotees, we never know. If Prabhupada was pure devotee, he was serving Krishna. But even, you know, pure devotees may not know, because may not know exact detail how it will happen. What they know, Krishna will protect me and Krishna will reciprocate me with me lovingly. That they know for sure, and that he will do for sure. But they may not know the details. Like Prabhupada first thought, I'll go to USA maybe for a month and try there. Let's see what happens. He didn't know that this would happen, a worldwide movement. So he didn't know the details, but he knew, because I'm just trying to follow my guru's order, and whatever happens is up to Krishna. So he always has the last say. So as devotees, we shouldn't have this attitude. Now I have done so much service, so Krishna should reciprocate with me in this way. So we shouldn't put conditions on Krishna, because he can do anything. Because Krishna is not boring person. That's one thing. He's not mechanical, boring person. This devotee did like this and Krishna reciprocated like this. So Krishna should also reciprocate with me like this. No, it's not like that. Because Krishna likes variety. And he wants to enjoy. So he always has the last say, and he may do things in a different way than what we think. We can never know Krishna fully, but Krishna gives as much knowledge as possible so that we can realize our service, our real identity, our relationship with Him. So we are forgetful of our real identity, that is false ego. So in Kali Yuga especially, this false ego is exhibited fully, to the full extent. We have four yugas, and as the time goes by, we know as per Bhagavad Gita, Sa Kalene Hamata, as time goes by the force of time, things degrade. So in Kali Yuga, we have the most degraded situation. And it is said, whoever is born in Kali Yuga is very unfortunate, because he or she wanted to see that degradation. They wanted to taste that darkness or degradation. So that makes devotees humble, that we shouldn't be proud. We have taken birth in Kali Yuga. That means we wanted to see, we wanted to taste this darkness. So it's described in 12th canto that how Kali Yuga is. And if we read that, and then if we meditate, that actually we wanted to taste all these things. And that's why we are here. So that would make us humble more and more. So it's described in 12th canto, Tatashchanu dinam dharma, satyam shocham shamadaya, kalena balina rajan, nangshat ayur balam smriti. So the eight things reduce in Kali Yuga. First thing is, as Prabhupada writes, is the main characteristic of the chief function of false ego is godlessness. So dharma, there is no religion. Religion is being followed by very few people properly. And further, the other qualities other positive qualities are also reduced in Kali Yuga. Satyam, Shocham, this truthfulness, cleanliness. No one speaks truth. There's so many advertisements, people want to sell something. And business means you have to lie. So there's no truth in this world pretty much. The only truth is about Krishna, because he is absolute truth. And then Shocham, there is no cleanliness. In 12th canto it's described, only by taking bath people will think they are clean. But cleanliness is not only superficial. And that too is reducing. The people don't take much bath these days. But main cleanliness is internal cleanliness. Everyone has dirty thoughts. Mind is so unclean. They are performing sinful activities. Dyutam panam striya shuna. All these four, the four pillars of ill religion. If you perform these four sinful activities, animal slaughter, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex, then how can mind be clean? Because you are performing those activities, you are getting those impressions. That's after performing. Before performing, you are planning to perform. So all the time mind is unclean. So there is no cleanliness. So satyam, shocham, daya, kshama, there is no mercifulness or forgiveness. People don't forgive others very easily. For small things, we are ready to kill others. And then no mercifulness. Mainly Prabhupada used to stress this point of slaughterhouse civilization. Why are animals, so many millions of animals being sent to the slaughterhouses? Prabhupada says, we don't say don't eat meat. You eat meat, but don't kill animals, especially cow. Don't kill the cow. If you want to eat the cow, it's okay. You eat the cow when cow dies. It's natural death. And in that way, you will have cow meat all the time, right? Because cows will die anyway. If you don't kill, they will die anyway. And you can eat the cow. And then one disciple, in that conversation that I read, another disciple said, and that if you don't kill the cow, you'll have more cows to eat, because cow will live little more and produce more cows. So that way you will have more cows, right? So that's logical. And Prabhupada says, okay, till the time you may not have so many cows, till that time you can eat and kill lower animals. But what Prabhupada says, we don't promote killing lower animals like dogs, hogs. And we don't say don't kill also, we don't say kill also for lower animals. Because this is the tendency of people, they want to eat flesh. And especially in Kali Yuga. So if we follow these Vedic principles, then we can develop these qualities, kshama, daya. And what else reduces, other three things mentioned in 12th canto, is ayur, balam, smriti. So your age, ideally we should live up to 100 years, but average age is just reducing. Year after year, it's reducing. And balam, the strength is reducing. The strength doesn't mean, they bodybuilders go to gym, they take so much supplements, steroids, and just bloat their body, artificially. But that's not strength. Actually, internally, they are very weak. Previously, people who used to have a very good sattvic lifestyle, they would stay strong much longer. Even old people, they would be very strong. But now, because people are not following celibacy and eating all sorts of disgusting food stuff, so actually their strength is reducing. For some years they may be very powerful, but then they have a very horrible old age. And then finally we have ayu, balam, smriti, memory. There is no memory. The main thing we have forgotten is that we are Krishna's parts. And then apart from that, because of these amazing scientific inventions, all these gadgets, we are getting more and more dependent on them, and that way our memory is reducing more and more. Who was mentioning, I think Ramai Maharaj, that you know, we are always looking at some screen, so that makes our brain very dull and our memory reduces more and more. It's just we get caught up in that screen, mobile or iPad or. So for devotees, we have to use these things, but we have to be very careful. That's what Vijay Prabhu was mentioning. We have to be very careful and not get carried away by that, because Maya is present right there. So these are the characteristics. That's how we have forgotten Krishna. And Prabhupada writes that when the forgetful living entity first tries for fruitive activities, he tries to enjoy his own senses. And when he is frustrated, he tries for mental speculation, philosophical speculation. So sense gratification is so dangerous, because the senses, and as we read, the senses are products of false ego and mode of passion. So senses are compared to the snakes. So a person who is feeling very hot, he may think, oh, the snake's body is very cool, let me wrap snake around my neck. But then he is bitten by the snake. So that's how senses are. We may think, oh, senses are there and sense objects are there. Let us engage senses in sense objects and we'll get enjoyment. But no, senses are like snakes. They bite us. And then ultimately, we have misery. Yehi sansparsha ja bhoga dukha yona evate adyantavanta kaunteya na teshu ramate buddha. So yehi sansparsha ja bhoga. So by these engaging in sense gratification, dukkha yona, they give you dukkha, misery. And then we are frustrated. And then we become philosophers, speculate. Then that's what Prabhupada says. Then you engage in philosophical speculation. So there's been so many speculators. So Prabhupada had discussion with his disciple Shyam Sundar Prabhu about many philosophers. And he would ask, okay, what's their philosophy? And then he would comment whether it was right or wrong, or, you know, what parts of their philosophy was according to Vedic knowledge. So one philosopher was Plato. He said, yes, everyone should work according to their nature. Then, so he had some things which were similar to Vedic knowledge. But then he said, you know, from 0 through 3 years, everyone should play, kids should play, and then for another 3 years, they should do religious studies, and then further, they should learn music, poetry, then go to military. So then Prabhupada said, no, why should everyone go learn everything? You have to see the tendency. Why should everyone go through military training? If someone is Brahminical, he doesn't have to go for military training. So like that, Prabhupada would correct these philosophies. So by philosophical speculation, by some things may by chance be similar to Vedic knowledge, but ultimately we have to take knowledge from the source of knowledge, the Vedic knowledge. And we have these books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, where everything is presented so nicely. So if we engage in this process of bhakti, which is very simple, just by hearing and chanting, we can revive our original consciousness. So these senses, which are produced by false ego and mode of passion, can be engaged in service of Krishna. Atah Shri Krishna Namadi na bhavet grahyam indriyai sevan mukehi jivvado swayam eva svuratyada. So when we engage these senses in the service of master of the senses, then these senses are purified. So although they are products of false ego and mode of passion, but we can purify them by engaging in the service of master of senses. Because ultimately, everything belongs to Krishna, everything comes from Krishna. And nothing is bad in that sense. But if we engage them properly, then we have the best thing with us, which is Krishna Prem. So I'd like to stop there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed today. Yes, Prabhu. If we can avoid, that's the best. That's why Prabhupada had this focus on farm communities. There you don't need anything actually. No electricity, nothing. No technology. Just live simply, pure life. So he wanted at least some devotees to be on the farms and develop some farming, cow protection, like that. So there you'll be protected and in a pure environment. But if you're in the city, it's for preaching. And for preaching you need to use these things. But if we lose that focus of preaching, then we'll be affected by this technology. It's very dangerous. We should rather not use them. If you cannot use them for preaching, rather not use them. Or use minimally. Any other question or comment? Yes, Prabhu.
So you mentioned that Prabhupada wasn't recommending, you know, sending everyone to all kinds of trainings. Like, for example, if a person is a Brahminical, he should go to military training. So my question is about actually like Varnashrama. So in one of the purports, Prabhupada mentions that according to Vedic culture, the Kshatriyas, they were allowed to eat meat and also to do other activities which are prohibited for Brahmanas. And yet in our preaching, we try to apply the Brahminical standards basically for everyone. Like we are saying to people that they shouldn't eat meat, they should avoid eating meat, they shouldn't like gamble, it's sinful. So how do we reconcile this? Because
in this age, it's not very hard to find out the varna or varna of the person, because it is said kalau shudra sambhava. So everyone is shudra or less. Shudra is a compliment actually these days. So when it says in Vedic culture, yes, kshatriyas were allowed to do some things, but in Kali Yuga actually varnashram system cannot work. We cannot find a pure kshatriya or a, you know, pure Brahmana who can, you know, light fire with his mantras. So what we are doing is, what Mahaprabhu did was, he said, Harer Naam, Harer Naam, Harer Naam Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nastev, Nastev, Nastev Gatiranyata. You just chant Hare Krishna straight away. So that, there are two types of swadharmas or activities based on our nature. One is conditional, one is constitutional. Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavad Gita purport. So conditional means according to our body and nature, and constitutional means based on our spiritual position. So because it's so unclear in Kali Yuga what our conditioned nature is, it's all mixed up, very mixed up. So that's why Mahaprabhu said in Kali Yuga there is no possibility to have a proper exact varnashram system as which was possible in earlier ages. So that's why he said just chant Hare Krishna. And then we follow varnashram system to the best possible way. You know, we have four ashrams and different devotees doing different types of services according to varnas, as close as possible to the original varnashram system. So what Prabhupada must be writing there is about the original pure varnashram system. But now we don't recommend, you know, if you are a kshatriya, you eat meat. No, this is, we are developing the head of the society, the brahmanas. So whatever our nature is, ISKCON devotees are actually the head of the society. They are brahmanical qualities are encouraged for all of us. Does that make sense? Yeah. Any seniors, Prabhu, Raja Krishna Prabhu, any comments on that point? I think it's close to our end time or over time, so we'll end here. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.